everyone. I'd also, first of all, my name is Annalisa Musselman, and I'm a nurse with the Marion County Public Health Department, and I work for a program called the Fetal Infant Mortality Review Program. But I'd also like to introduce my colleagues at the Marion County Public Health Department that I work closely with: Bill Allen, Yvonne Beasley, who's with us today, Terry Connard. All of these people have been instrumental in keeping the IHB femur program stable and successful over the last 10 years, so I just wanted to acknowledge them as well. And in terms of APHA presenter disclosures, I don't have any relationships to disclose. So briefly, today I'm going to provide an overview of the purpose and the process of our public health program, how diabetes impacts fetal and infant mortality, some of the findings from our case reviews, and then also the implications of the work that we're doing. So what is the Indianapolis Healthy Babies Fetal Infant Mortality Review Program? And thankfully we can call it IHB FEMUR for short. It's kind of a mouthful. And what do we do? IHB FEMUR is a local quality improvement initiative that's based on a national FEMUR model. Across the country, there are actually over 200 programs working on the local level to address the underlying conditions or causes of fetal and infant mortality. The purpose of the IHB FEMUR program is not to assign blame for any death, but to really understand how social, economic, and health issues relate to the loss. And we do this by looking at gaps in available resources and services for women and their families. And our goal is simple. We always say that our goal is simple. We want to improve the lives and the well-being of families in our county so fewer families have to suffer the loss of a baby. So the model you see here represents the FEMUR cycle of improvement. And if you look at the top, we're first, the process starts when we're notified of a death. And then the IHB FEMUR nurse collects medical record information on the mom and the baby. And then we take that medical information, use it, and reach out to the mothers who have experienced a loss and ask them for their input or their feedback on their experience. And people always ask us why we do that, why we feel the need to reach out to somebody who's gone through something so tragic. And we always say that we do this so that these women not only have an opportunity to share their own personal story of loss, which has very therapeutic, it has a therapeutic purpose for these women, you know, as they're working through their grief and trying to understand the nature of their loss. But it's also so that they have a platform where their voices and their concerns can actually be heard. So all of the information that we get from mom, it doesn't just stop with us. We share that information with people that can actually use it. The maternal interview is really a unique component of our program because we really feel like it adds an additional layer of depth and expert knowledge to the recommendations that we end up making as a FEMUR program. So if you look at the next step labeled case review, the medical record information that we get is combined with information that we receive from the mom, and we put together a case. And that case is presented to our case review team so that the case review team can analyze each case for all of the contributing factors. And then they make a series of recommendations that we can then use to start to think about how we're going to change our service delivery system in Marion County. These recommendations are incorporated into community action strategies. And then if you keep looking through the cycle of improvement, the community action leads to changes in community systems, and then hopefully improvements in our birth outcomes. And then, of course, because it's a continuous quality improvement program, the cycle starts all over again. So it's we're constantly evaluating how well we're serving our moms and our babies. So it's really important for me to emphasize, especially since I'm among people who are doing formal research, that we are a public health quality improvement program, and we're not a formal research program. So the information that I'm presenting here is not based on a formal systematic research process. I think that's important to emphasize. So during our IHB FEMUR reviews, our team has consistently identified diabetes, and specifically the pre-existing diabetes or pre-gestational diabetes, as a contributing factor to fetal and infant death in Indianapolis. Between 2009 and 2013, 49 cases, or 12% of our cases, were complicated by maternal diabetes. We know that globally, approximately 60 million women of reproductive age have type 2 diabetes, which is an astronomically high number. And in the U.S., this translates into approximately 1.3 million women. And what's interesting is of those 1.3 million women, 500,000, or about 500,000 of these women, don't actually know that they have the disease. This is significant not only from a chronic disease management perspective, but it's also significant because we know that more than half of all pregnancies in the U.S. are unplanned. And this means that roughly 500,000 women in the U.S. have the potential to unknowingly enter into pregnancy at considerably higher risk for poor pregnancy outcomes. And clearly, this is a significant public health issue. Researchers have found that there's a 3 to 5 times greater risk of congenital anomalies, stillbirth, and neonatal mortality due to prematurity in pregnancies complicated by pregestational diabetes. And our IHV FEMR reviews have really supported this. So of the cases that we looked at between 2009 and 2013, 38% of these women in our program had a stillbirth late in the third trimester, which on average was at approximately 38 weeks gestation. 57% of these women had a birth complicated by a congenital anomaly that resulted in a death. Approximately 88% of this cohort of women delivered their babies prematurely. And if this wasn't concerning enough, IHV FEMR has identified that much of the information about the cause and circumstance of the death is lost to researchers and ultimately to policymakers through our vital record system, because the infant information isn't necessarily linked to the maternal record. And also because oftentimes when we're doing our reviews, we notice that the cause of death on the death certificate might say the cause of death is unknown, or it might say that the cause of death is an IUFD or the intrauterine fetal demise. And it doesn't necessarily give any other information, even if mom had, you know, uncontrolled or unmanaged diabetes throughout her pregnancy. We also know that diabetes does not affect all populations in the United States equally. The prevalence of diabetes is 2 to 4 times greater for non-Hispanic Black, our Hispanic and American Indian women, versus the non-Hispanic white women. And not surprisingly, in Indianapolis, like much of the United States, we see this disparity reflected in our birth outcomes. Obesity is a major risk factor for the development of diabetes. And among our IHV FEMR mothers with diabetes, our white and Hispanic population had a pre-pregnancy BMI average of 34, which for those of you who are familiar with the classifications of BMI, or if you go by the World Health Organization, this puts them into class 1 obesity. And then if you look at our non-Hispanic Black women, they have an even higher average pre-pregnancy BMI of 37, and that actually bumps them into the next category, or class 2, for the obesity rating. Moreover, we found that women of color with diabetes suffered a loss at a younger age than our non-Hispanic white women in Marion County. So roughly, our non-Hispanic Black population was diagnosed, the age where they lost their infant was 27.5 years, versus our white women in Marion County, where the average age was 34 years. And this suggests that Black and Hispanic women are developing diabetes at a younger age, which means that more of their reproductive years are compromised by diabetes, and theoretically, more pregnancies have the potential for poor outcomes related to pre-existing diabetes. So hemoglobin A1C, which is a marker for how well diabetes is being managed, on entry into prenatal care was also higher for our Black and Hispanic women than for our non-Hispanic white women. And the difference wasn't huge, but that 8.8% versus the 8.2%. For women with previously diagnosed diabetes, the treatment target is actually 7% or less. All groups here are well above the 7%, suggesting that their diabetes is not being tightly controlled, especially prior to conception. One potential barrier, obviously, to proper management identified by our team is not having adequate insurance coverage, and I know this isn't going to be new to a lot of you. 100% of our non-Hispanic Black women with diabetes were insured by Medicaid. Many of these women were eligible for Medicaid only while pregnant, which made it challenging, if not impossible, to effectively manage their diabetes prior to and in between pregnancies. One mother actually lamented, "Things were very tight. I made about $950 a month, and $500 of it went for rent. We ate a lot of Hamburger Helper. It was so frustrating because they said I made too much money to qualify for Medicaid before I got pregnant, so I didn't have enough money to pay for my diabetes medication between pregnancies." And as most of you know, this is not a unique story. Though the Affordable Care Act has increased insurance options for a lot of women in Indianapolis, far too many are still having to make the choice, the tough choice, between whether to buy medicine or put food on their tables. But it's not just about being adequately insured. As an IHB FEMA nurse notes while talking to one of the diabetic mothers who experienced a loss, "The woman's hemoglobin A1C is 9.3. She's checking her blood sugar only twice a week at best. She misses many of her Humalog doses. She started crying when the interview was being conducted because she said she really does not have the time in the day. She has a young child who needed cardiac surgery and is now in rehab many times a week. She really has no help at all. She's trying to manage this and two other children with no support." This story highlights another key IHB FEMA finding, the lack of maternal support. Even with insurance and access to appropriate medical care, without adequate support, self-care is always a challenge. And this woman, this story, she's not alone. Many of the women we speak to report feeling frustrated and hopeless and have trouble articulating their personal life goals. This is really a critical and often under-documented contributing factor to the poor outcomes we're seeing in women with diabetes. Our case review found that 65% of women with diabetes return for their postpartum visit, which is roughly on par with what's happening on the national, with what's happening nationally. We know how crucial the postpartum appointment is for all women, but it's particularly critical for women who have a chronic disease like diabetes. Yet in the cases we reviewed, a glucose screen and diabetes follow-up was documented in only 44% of the non-Hispanic white women, 17% of the Hispanic black women, and only 10% of our non-Hispanic black population. Clearly, there's a glaring disparity in the way care is being delivered and or how it's charted for this patient population. Additionally, the following two quotes from a couple more maternal interviews kind of highlight the need for ongoing education. "I've had diabetes since I was 15 years old and always take insulin. I take two types of insulin, so my diabetes is always under control. And then when you look at her hemoglobin A1C on entry into prenatal care, it was very high at 10.7. And here's a second example. "I don't know about my diabetes status. I had it during my pregnancy. Diabetes is in my family, an aunt and my grandmother. I don't know if I have diabetes now." And again, hemoglobin A1C on entry into prenatal care was 9.2. So both of these women had a high hemoglobin A1C before they conceived on entry into prenatal care. And the first woman feels like her diabetes is always under control, yet the numbers suggest otherwise. The second quote is something we often hear from women who are diagnosed with diabetes during her pregnancy, because typically when we do the maternal interview or when we actually talk to mom, it's 3 to 9 months after she first had, or after she experienced the loss. And we hear over and over again that women are still unclear on what their diabetes status is. Our IHB FEMA team reviewed a case where a woman struggled to manage her type 2 diabetes throughout her pregnancy. She delivered her baby prematurely at 33 weeks gestation, which is not uncommon for this patient population. The infant was hospitalized for 2 weeks and treated for prematurity and respiratory distress syndrome. At discharge, the baby was doing well, and mom was excited to be taking the baby home. 10 days later, mom was breastfeeding the infant in bed when she slipped into a coma from diabetic ketoacidosis. The mother actually slumped over her baby and inadvertently smothered her baby, killing her baby. It's stories like this that help bring awareness to the seriousness of the disease. As one of our case review team members commented on, Diabetes is so prevalent and common, and it's even been called an epidemic. It's lost some of its impact on the clients and the providers that we work with. This is the key benefit of implementing a local femur program. By sharing stories like this, the impact of diabetes during the perinatal period actually transcends the statistics. So we've talked about the cycle of improvement and the importance of the maternal voice in understanding the systems level barriers. But in closing, I want to emphasize the importance of community partnerships for truly improving our resources and services for moms with diabetes. On our dedicated IHB femur team, we have representatives from all the major hospital systems in Indianapolis. We have representatives from Medicaid, vital records, chronic and infectious disease, community clinics, public health nurses, physicians, social workers, midwives, and representatives from grassroots organizations throughout the community. Our IHB femur meeting allows a direct and immediate infusion of critical information about the needs of women with diabetes to reach organizations that actually have the power to make change. They actually have the power to do something in the community. One hospital system in Indianapolis actually has a centering program, which many of you are familiar with. It's the group prenatal care model, and it's specifically designed for women with diabetes. IHB femur data is also implemented in program planning and outreach services with our Indianapolis Healthy Start program, our nutrition services, our WIC program, and the Indianapolis Healthy Babies Consortium. So you've all heard the proverb, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, our IHB femur program truly believes that it'll take a village to save a child. Thank you.